And good evening, and welcome to Crystal Silent League Hour, once again. I'm John St. Germain, broadcasting live from Castle St. Germain, and it's a chilly night. We have a log on the fire tonight, and once again, thanks for joining us. I hope you're cuddled up with something warm, a warm beverage of your choice, or a warm being of your choice, be it male, female, feline, or canine. At any rate, I hope you're warm tonight. Tonight's show, we have a lot of information. I'm very excited about tonight's show. We're going to look at different types of scrying. We're going to look at why the eye is a terrible tool for seeing, scrying, or any sort of thing. Yet, the eye provides an innate object of meditation. We're going to look at how to make your own scrying mirror. And we're also going to answer the question of why Isaac Newton stuck sharp sticks in his eyes. So grab the shiny object of your choice, be it a crystal ball, a palm stone, a shiny ball, a marble, or a glass of water, and we'll be right back after our musical interlude.
Shady sidewalk, busy sidewalk, dressed in a holiday smile. In the air, there's a feeling like Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile, and on every street corner you can hear silver bells.
And we're back, and thank you for holding on and coming back to join us. As I said, tonight we're going to be looking at a variety of topics, and we are going to do our prayers here in just a moment. And for those of you who do not know about the Crystal Silent League, we are the online incarnation of the original Crystal Silence League. We are an online free prayer service located at www.crystalsilenceleague.org. where anyone is welcome to post a prayer request, and the members and the pastors will pray for you. There's no charge for posting a prayer request. Prayers are always free at the Crystal Silence League. Now, if you'd like to know more, and of course you do, please visit the website and read about us. And we'd like to let you know that if you're new to the vision of the Crystal Silence League, it was founded sometime between 1912 and 1917 by Mr. Claude Conlon to distribute affirmative prayer and helpful thoughts to all in need. And, of course, it was rebirthed on the Internet by the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church around 2011. There are two books authored by Mr. Conlon that we use as our source books. And these two books are Personal Lessons, Codes, and Instructions for Members of the Crystal Silence League and Crystal Gazing, both of which are available for about $5 from Lucky Mojo Curio Company. Or if you buy a crystal from Lucky Mojo Curio Company, you get one of these books free, and it is a very good investment. Let's talk a little bit tonight. Or we're going to get into scrying, and in an earlier episode, we were talking about keeping intention pure, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that. Many of our concepts grew from the New Thought movement, and New Thought basically suggests that anything that happens in our mind manifests in our reality. This led to Law of Attraction authors such as Napoleon Hill, who wrote Think and Grow Rich, and other authors, and led to a whole slew of Law of Attraction books, which, of course, culminated in a book called The Secret. Now, I don't like the book The Secret. It has inspired a lot of people, but I want to tell you that I have a number of problems with it. For one thing, I read The Secret, and it compiled a bunch of quotes, some from various sources, some motivational writers, some positive thinking writers, and some from the Buddha. And the quote from the Buddha was misquoted or taken out of context. I think the Buddha and Albert Einstein are probably the two most misquoted people in history on the Internet. And I would like to go into that actual quote that's quoted in The Secret and explain, rhapsodize, pontificate on exactly why it's such an important quote to be understood. The quote that I'm talking about is, "Mind is the forerunner of all actions. All deeds are led by mind, created by mind." This is from the Dhammapada, which is a collection of sayings of the Buddha arranged in different chapters. And I'd like to read to you the entire passage from the Dhammapada, and let's discuss it, because it does have a lot to do with purity of intent, which is very important if you're doing projection work, and also scrying work, which we're going to discuss this week. This is the entire quote. "Mind is the forerunner of all actions. All deeds are led by mind, created by mind. If one speaks or acts with a corrupt mind, suffering follows as wheels follow the hoof of an ox. Mind is the forerunner of all actions. All deeds are led by mind, created by mind. If one speaks or acts with a serene mind, happiness follows as surely as one shadow." This is often presented as evidence that the Buddha taught Law of Attraction. Buddhists know that this is not so. This is a teaching about karma vipaka. Karma vipaka is the teaching of karma. Karma vipaka means action and its result. And this is a teaching of that. It's about intention. And the key phrases here are corrupt mind and serene mind. And I'll give you an example. I produce this program. I present this program. And I actually put a lot of work into this program, a lot of research and work and notes and effort goes into this weekly program. Now, I can do this for, let's say, two reasons. I can do it with a corrupt mind. I can do it to glorify myself, to create attention for myself, to present myself as, to pontificate about my skills and to present myself as a master, to glorify my ego. Or I can do it with a serene mind, which is to help people, to help the Crystal Silence League to get our message out and to get this knowledge out to you, the serene mind. Regardless of why I do it, the program is produced, you see, regardless. However, the fruits of this action are different. The fruits of this action are different because of the intention. And this is very important when we're doing projection work or scrying work. Intention, purity of intent. If you project with a corrupt mind, if you're projecting for prosperity, for instance, with a corrupt mind, we say, I want money, I don't care who it hurts, I don't care, the means justify the end. Now, how many times have you heard, do whatever it takes? No. The means justify the end? No. That's with a corrupt mind. And there will be consequences. And these consequences will be negative. If you project with a serene mind, if you project, I need money, I do need this money, but everyone needs money. This is the difference between the intent of the Crystal Silence League. We want happiness for ourselves. That's part of what we pray for. We want happiness for ourselves, but we want happiness for everyone else too. We do not want happiness at the expense of everyone else. We don't want me to be happy and 99 other people to be unhappy. We do not want that cost. We don't want that price. We're not like some greedy bastards that you may know of who climb to the top on the backs of other people. This is why purity of intention is important. We wish for happiness for everyone. And there's plenty out there. There's plenty for everybody. And this is why the mind is the forerunner of all actions is very important to understand. If you read books like The Secret, the message is basically, if you wish for something, you're going to get it. Wish for something and it will happen. And this is not how attraction works. It's not how projection and attraction works. It's very important you understand the method. And, of course, Mr. Conlon explained it quite some time ago. And if this method is followed, happiness follows as surely as one shadow, as the Buddha wrote. Now, I'm going to tell you that one of the greatest sources of suffering in our life is that desire to have things. While I'm on the subject of Buddhism, I might as well pontificate about that a little while. We have this thing called the Four Noble Truths, and sometimes that's misunderstood as well. And it really explains the whole problem of human unhappiness. And it's that first one that people choke on. The First Noble Truth is usually understood by Buddhists as the First Noble Truth of suffering. The First Noble Truth, it's called dukkha. Dukkha, the original word in Pali is dukkha. And dukkha is very hard to translate into English. Ironically, the most satisfactory translation is unsatisfactory. Life is unsatisfactory. There is unsatisfactoriness. So what we know is that life has an unsatisfactory element to it. Everything that we attempt to seek to make us happy is unsatisfactory. And the second noble truth tells us that this unhappiness is caused by tanha, or thirst, that we want things. So here's this gap between the things we want and the things that we can't get. We're always wanting things. We want, and as soon as we get something, we want more. So the mind is eternally restless. It's eternally restless. As soon as we have one thing, we want another. And it's this wanting that creates human suffering. Now, when people are confronted with this, the first noble truth, there is suffering. People say, oh, but there's happiness too. Well, we don't concentrate all of our efforts on the problem of human happiness. There is no problem there. We don't obsess with the problem of human happiness, but if you think about it, every human endeavor, art, science, philosophy, literature, everything, every human endeavor is devoted and dedicated to understanding and alleviating human suffering. Everything. If mankind were happy and serene, there would be nothing out there. There would not be cars, there would not be factories, there would not be books and literature. We would still be living happily in the natural state. We were unhappy living in trees and caves, so we built huts. We were unhappy gathering and hunting food, so we started stealing our neighbor's food. They got unhappy of us stealing it, so they hit us with rocks. We got unhappy with rocks, so we hit them with clubs. Well, they put sharp rocks on sticks and had spears. Well, then we invented whatever it was, catapults. Then someone invented got on a horse and invented a sword, and then after that, firearms. So you see, all human suffering came from wanting stuff. And so the way I try to explain it to people, like my clients, I'll say there's a gap between the way the world is and the way we want it to be. And there's an even bigger gap between the way people are and the way we want people to be. And the bigger that gap, the wider that gap, the greater the suffering. And, you know, just think about that a while. So when we're doing our projection work, obviously if we're projecting something out there, there's a gap between what we have and what we think we want. And that's what we're projecting. So we have to understand, why are we projecting? Why are we wanting this? Do we really need it? And that's why we have to have a purity of intention. We have to really understand what it is we need in our life. Because if we're projecting the wrong thing for the wrong reasons, then we're just adding to the chaos and the misery of our life. We're speaking and acting with a corrupt mind. This is very important. This is very important. This is why many people work with the law of attraction and they work with projection and nothing ever happens for them. So right now what I would like to do is, after that lengthy apostrophe, I would like to go into our prayer service. I'd like to say that today I'm quite excited. I usually use reading glasses, and I went to the ophthalmologist, and I'm using one contact lens. It's a monocle. And I have one eye that I use reading and one for far vision, so I've never done this before. And I'm quite excited to see if this is going to work. I'm actually like Colonel Klink. I'm wearing a monocle in contact lens form. So I want to take a deep breath. And those of you who are listening, please take a deep breath and relax. And we're going to wish happiness and freedom from suffering for all the people for whom we're praying. These people who have posted prayer requests recently on the Crystal Silence League website. I'm going to identify them by initials and by prayer ID. And so here we go. This is prayer identification number 32891 AD. We are praying for her to obtain a better job. You know, may she obtain a better job and more money to help her with the financial problems, and that she may pay her rent. And this is for prayer number 32889 MV. May her relationship get better and stronger each day, and may they work as a team. Also, the same person, may she have a positive outcome to her court case, and may she pay her rent very soon. This is prayer number 32887 BP. She needs help with her finances, her and her family. May that help come to her very promptly. This is prayer ID number 32886 JD. She is requesting a prayer for peace and love and happiness in her married life. They've been married a month, and they have strife. May they soon put that strife behind them and gain peace and understanding between them. This is prayer ID number 32885 RT, praying for financial help. They've been struggling with finances. May they soon be at peace, and may money flow to them. This is prayer ID number 32884 MF. They're praying to save their marriage. They're praying for his wife and their little family, and they're having issues between them. Please may their marriage be saved, and may their issues disappear. Prayer number 32883 MRDI. She wants her curses removed. She says she feels cursed and has a very unbelievable bad run of luck. We're actually going to discuss luck tonight, and may she heal from that. Prayer ID number 32882 HP. Please may Saint Gabriel repair Dee's heart and see the love between the two of them. Prayer number 32881 BS. Please keep BS safe from evil and remove all bad luck. Prayer number ID 32879 AA. Please protect protect them from danger. May St. Anthony and St. Michael and St. Expedite and St. Jude protect friends and family. Prayer ID number 32878, AA again. And please protect his friends. Prayer ID number 32877, AT. Please help sell the house quickly, and please help with the loan. Prayer ID number 32876, JP. Please help the family. Please help the relationship and give them stability. Prayer ID number 32875, GOI. Please help them meet their sales goal at work, and so their finances will improve. Prayer number 32874, BP. Please help the family. Please help the family get better. Prayer number 32873, SB. Again, a prayer for finances. Please, a miracle in the finance prosperity for a new home and a new car. Prayer ID number 32872, MV. Remove all blocks from the family and the work projects, please. Prayer ID number 32871, BS. Protection from danger, please. Very evil person. May St. Michael protect you. Prayer ID number 32870, WL. Please help the money come in to pay off all loans and to be debt-free. Prayer ID number 32869, KH. Please help clear all obstacles from her life so that she can get on with it and find success and happiness. May it be so. Prayer ID number 32868, BS. But protect from danger, please. Prayer number 32867, RP. Thank you. She is grateful for the Crystal Silence League and says we're an awesome bunch of people. Thank you very much. Prayer ID number 32866, KR. Please help her during the peace and joy and health and comfort after this divorce case. Prayer ID number 32865, DS. Please help with funding with housing, and please help improve health. Prayer ID number 32864, TD. Please help in the court case and let the judge rule in the favor. And prayer ID number 32863, AG. Please encourage E to contact her sometime this week and to let the relationship heal. And finally, prayer number 32862 and F. May she pass the state boards and be successful and going back to retake it, and may she be very successful and pass this so that she may be successful in her career. May this be so. May it happen. May success and happiness follow these folks. And remember, prayer is always free at the Crystal Silence League. If you have a prayer request, please come and post it. And thank you very much for joining me in these prayers. Let's talk a little bit about scrying now. Actually, let's talk a whole lot about scrying now. Scrying, of course, is the art and sometimes science of gazing into an object or water or a crystal ball or any number of things of this nature and seeing visions for purposes of divination or spiritual enlightenment or prognostication. And I'm going to tell you that over the centuries and millennia, there have been many, many forms of this. I want to tell you in a minute how to make a scrying mirror yourself. One of the earliest forms of scrying was called hydromancy. This is water scrying. You can watch the ripples in water. You can drop pebbles in water, watch the ripples, watch the flowing of water. You can do cloud scrying. You can watch the evolution of the shapes and clouds. And many Native Americans and other tribes would watch the shape in smoke. I actually don't know the name of smoke scrying, but you watch the shapes as they evolve within the smoke. There is a very interesting form of scrying, and I've never heard of it practiced, but it was shown to me. You know how oil on water, if light reflects on it at an angle, makes rainbow shapes? You pour water in a saucer, and then you drop oil in it, and then you have this in a dim room, and you have a candle, and if you look at the water, the oil, as you drop it in, will make rainbow swirls, and this can trigger visions as well. So there are many, many, many ways of triggering scrying. The black scrying mirror is an old method, and there are black obsidian scrying mirrors and black plastic scrying mirrors and black glass scrying mirrors, and this is a way you can make your very own scrying mirror. Go to a store that sells picture frames and buy one. And you can buy them any size and any shape. You can buy round ones, oval ones, square ones. About 8.5 by 11 is a good size. And this is very handy because a picture frame has that little kickstand on the back. And while you're there, buy a little can of black spray paint. Doesn't matter what finish it is, satin, matte, etc. And while you're there, that's all you need. So you take it home and you take the glass out and you spray paint the back of it black and give it several coats. You don't want it any light shining through. And when it dries, you put it back in the frame. And you want the black on the back of it, not the front. This makes it a true mirror. It's not a black surface on the front. The black surface is on the back. It makes it a true mirror. And you'll get interesting optical effects because you're looking through the glass. And then you'll set this glass at an angle because of the kickstand in a dim room and have a light source such as a candle or a light. The candle is good because it flickers. And then you watch the reflection and you look through it. Now, at this point, let's look at the idea of how you look at an object while you're scrying. There are two ways, really, of looking at an object. Well, there's three if it's a transparent object. You can look through the object, behind it. You look behind the object. This is how when you meditate, as a matter of fact, you're taught this in meditation. This is open-eye meditation, not closed-eye meditation. You can look behind the object. And you can look in front of the object. And in the case of a crystal, you can look through the object. So these are various ways that you can gaze your perception into the object. Now, in the case of the mirror, you're going to look through it to the black surface and look at the reflections. In the case of a crystal ball, you're going to gaze behind it. You're going to look through it and behind it. In the case of a related crystal, you will look into it and follow the patterns that come. You can twist the crystal and watch the light reflecting. Striated stones like malachite and tiger's eye, your eyes can trace the patterns. Someone in chat asked if the scrying mirror, gazing into a mirror, is called catoptromancy. I actually made a note of that, catoptromancy. And also the whole idea of the black reflective surface, you can get a thing called a palm stone, which is a regularly shaped round stone you put in the palm of your hand. And if you get a black one, it looks like you scooped up a handful of black liquid, and you gaze into the surface of that. So let's talk about the human eye now, since we're talking about perception, because we want to talk about a very fascinating thing that you're taught in some yoga called eye floater meditation. And I'm going to tell you that the eyes have a very limited range of vision and are very flawed. You know, Paley, the ontological guy, thought that the eye was proof of God because it was so well designed. And I want to tell you, though, that there were two fellows. One was a guy named Helmholtz. He was the guy who designed the ophthalmoscope, who studied the eye intently. He was a contemporary of Charles Darwin, and both he and Darwin disagreed. They said that the human eye worked just barely enough to allow us to survive. our color range is limited. We have a spherical aberration when we see, that is, at the edges of our vision, objects curve. We also have a longitudinal distortion, which is called astigmatism, which gets worse as you get older. We have a blind spot. We have color drift, and our range of perception is terrible. Our night vision is terrible, etc. To this end, you'll find if you close your eyes and press your fingers against your eyes, you'll see colors because the eye nerves are very specialized. They know one type of input, and that is color. So they translate everything into color. If you put pressure on them, they don't feel pressure. They turn it into color. This is why you see spots and floaters and other things when you press your eyes. Now, Sir Isaac Newton, who experimented with a lot of things, was in a there's no other way to put it. He was in a pissing match with René Descartes. It was English science versus French science, and they disagreed a lot on color theory, why prisms worked, and it's very fascinating some of the stuff they came up with. How come if you stare at a black line, you see colors? A black line against white, you see colors on the edges of it. You know, why did that happen? How come that was? So Newton, to test and experiment with this theory, that when you put pressure on the eyes, you saw colors, took sharp wooden splints, now get this, and jammed them behind his eyeball. He put them in, under his eyelid and behind his eyeball, both of them, to put pressure on his eyes so that he would see halos. Now, he almost went blind doing this, but he did notice that when you do this, the eyes will see prisms of color. And this fascinated him, and it led him to the experiments with prisms. So this is what we know. The eye perceives thing, reality, in a distorted way. And this is going to bring us to a very interesting optical phenomenon that will help you very much with your scrying. If you stare at a white wall or a blue sky, you will see what are known as eye floaters. These are these little squiggly worm-like things. They look like cobwebs or little worms or squiggly things that float around your eyes. What these are, it's actually very simple. These are bits of collagen that become detached within the vitreous humor of the eye, and you're not seeing the little bits of material that float around in the water that's in your eye. You're looking at the shadows that are cast on the retina. This is why if you look at a source that reflects light, like a white wall or the blue sky, you see more of them because you're looking at the shadows, not the floaters themselves. And you'll notice they usually fall down. So if you move your eye, they go up and they fall down. And you have lots and lots of eye floaters. You usually get more the older you get. It's a type of deterioration of the collagen of the eye. And if you have a deteriorating vision, you'll have a lot of them because as your vision deteriorates, you can get a whole lot of them. So you have an innate object for meditation. You can stare at a wall and follow these eye floaters, trace their edges, follow their movement, focus on them. And this is taught in certain schools of yoga. There are lots of yogins. You ever hear about people staring at a wall sitting, wall staring? And you say, what are they looking at? More often than not, they're looking at the eye floaters and the flashes of light. Now, if you look at a white wall or you look at a window and you look and your eyes shift enough, you'll notice little flashes of light, and you'll look closely, you'll see what appear to be hundreds of twisting. They look like worms, hundreds of worms, twisting, branching things, and then you'll see lights. You'll see movement within them, just movement, little flashing lights within them. The first time I saw this, I was, in my late 20s. I was in an airplane. I looked out the window, and I noticed that in my eyes were these worm-like things, thousands of them, and little flashing lights in them, which I thought were organs, and I thought, oh, my God, there's parasites in my eyes. There's parasites. And but then as I watched them, I realized I was looking at the capillaries in the back of my eyes. These were reflections. And what those little things going through were blood corpuscles. Light was reflecting on the blood corpuscles. And it was being reflected off the retina. Now, if you can get to the point where you see those, So you can watch those for many hours and follow them. You can look at the little flashing lights reflected on your retina. It takes a lot of concentration, but you can see them. And you need light reflecting in your eye. Like so I saw it when I was looking out the window of an airplane, and if I look at my white wall really hard right now, I sort of see the shadowy images of them. But I've looked on the internet and forums, and there are people who think their eyes are infested with terrible parasites and all kinds of things. And what they're talking about are eye floaters, or these veins in the back of their eye, these tiny capillaries. So objects of meditation in the back of your eye. So you watch these things. Now, we're going back to scrying. We're looking at the object of perception. We're looking at what we perceive them with. So what are you seeing when you look into these mirrors and crystal balls? Probably the object itself, the mirror, the crystal ball, the crystal, very likely the images are not coming from there. I'm not going to say definitely not, because as soon as I make a statement like that, somebody's going to say, oh, no, I've got a magic ball, and it does produce images, John. Yeah, spirit. My ball's full of spirit. So I'm not going to say that you don't have a magic ball or a magic crystal that spirits come out of. I'm not going to say that. These images come from us. They come from our sense, our psychic sense, our spiritual connections. They come from us. And the tool is a reflection. The tool is a mirror. And so any images or symbols that you see in them are going to come from you, from your unit. Well, I call this a universal symbol set. You will adopt a universal symbol set, as just like when you read tarot, when you read any kind of images, any kind of symbols. That's what you're going to see. You will know what you see. You will project it in there. You know, if you see a dog running up a road, and he meets a unicorn, and the unicorn has a red flag running from his horn, you're the only person that's going to know what that means. So there are some rules here. Don't overthink it. Don't force it. Don't be afraid of it, and trust it. So also, you're going to find some methods of scrying work better for you than others. I do love my crystal ball. I seem to work better with a slightly tinted crystal ball for scrying. I get great results from a mirror. Last week we talked about the psychomantium, the mirror slightly tilted in a dark room. So when I use a scrying mirror, as I described, the one that you make from the picture frame, I like to have it slanted upward. That's why I like the picture frame. You can just tilt it back and let it go upward. You enter a state, as we said earlier, of serene mind. You follow the reflections. You relax your eyes, kind of like when you're daydreaming. You relax your eyes. You let them follow the designs. You let them follow. Just like, this is why the eye floater exercise is very good. As you cannot look at the eye floater. When you try to focus on it, it moves away. So you don't focus on anything in particular. You let your mind relax. And then you will start to make visions. You will project visions. And then you interpret it. This is why it's a difficult skill to learn, because your mind wants to start to analyze and say, well, what does that mean? What does that cup mean? What is that boat dropping an anchor? Why do I see a sheep? You know, why do I see these things? And you really have to let it tell the story and let it go. And eventually you'll create movies. You'll create mind movies. You'll see colors, you'll see flashing lights, you'll see all sorts of things, and let your mind make the associations. You'll have flashes of intuition, you'll have clairvoyance, you'll have any number of things. Certain stones, tiger eye is very good. You know, if you take tiger eye out in the sun, you'll see flashes of sunlight, and some people have said that those flashes of sunlight will trigger prognostications of the future. That you'll get a flash. You don't even get a picture. You'll be following the striations of the tiger's eye, and the sun penetrates into the lighter parts of the tiger's eye and produces these glints. You know, if you've seen tiger's eye, you know what I'm talking about. There are these bright glints of sunlight, and you'll get this kind of flash. And there are some people that say if you practice this, when you see that flash, you'll get a premonition. You'll get a glimpse of the future. And I've not tried this. I've not tried this, but it's something that some of you may want to try. So that is one of the very useful methods. Hematite, which is our stone of the week, is very useful for scrying in a dark room with a candlelight. Hematite, of course, is a very grounding stone, and it also increases circulation. You discharge it, by the way, by putting it in rock crystals. And for scrying, you put it in a dark room by candlelight, and once again, you gaze at it. I think people get an inaccurate vision of what you see in a crystal ball because of the media. Remember in The Wizard of Oz when the Wicked Witch is looking into the crystal ball and she sees a picture of Dorothy on her broom and things like that? That's what I think people think of when they see that. So, let's not think of the crystal ball like that, but more of a focusing point for the inner images. As you practice this, you will see very clear images. And sometimes you try different types of scrying methods, and one will click. You'll feel it inside. It'll click, and you'll see these different images. Later, we'll talk about the use of crystal balls and crystals for communicating with spirits. But right now, that's what we're talking about, that particular type of scrying. Just find something that works for you and start seeing it. That way. Do not, by the way, replicate Isaac Newton's experiment of jamming sticks in your eyes. He wrote about that and said it was a terrible mistake, and he had damaged his eyes, and it took him months to heal. Our phone lines are open if anybody has any questions and would like to call in, add to this, ask questions. Our number, of course, is 657-383-0525. And just press 1, and that will light up your little number over here, and I'll pick it up and see what you have to say. We'd love to have a caller. And in just a few minutes, because we don't have much time left, and in a few minutes we're going to do the spell of the week and our meditation. While I wait for, wait. Now, is that a true caller there? Okay, then. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. Just been enjoying this show. This is Catherine.
Hey, Kat.
Catherine Ironwood. Nice to hear you talk, John, about floaters and capillaries. I have to say, mm-hmm. I discovered them at a much earlier age than you did. I thought correctly. I identified the capillaries correctly as a child. The floaters always surprised me. But I want to say something. You were talking about degenerating vision.
Mm-hmm.
I had the misfortune of having a detached retina.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've never had that, you haven't lived until you see what looks like veils and pools of black squid ink covering your vision, slowly filling up your vision with black squid ink.
How awful.
And it is awful. I had my retina lasered back on again. It took 250 little, laser bolts to bolt it back together. When that happened, there was one capillary that was leaking. And it was also, they had hit a nerve, and that little, you know how sometimes when you have a twitch in your eyelid or a twitch in your hand, you just go, oh, that's weird, it's like twitching? Well, I had a twitch in the nerve of my eye, which, of course, I couldn't feel, and there was this little capillary, and I had a vision. It stuck with me for 2.5 months until I finally had them basically kill it with a laser, cauterize it out with a laser. It looked like the old RKO radio, RKO radio pictures logo with a big radio tower with, those flashing lights coming out in all directions like jagged lights. I saw that for 2.5 months. It drove me crazy. It did not improve my scrying ability.
Oh, well. Did it improve anything?
Well, when it was gone, I missed it. And I thought, I should have kept that. It was really weird. But I couldn't see. I couldn't see to walk. I was seeing these flashing lights. So I'm just here to say that the floaters, I have done floater meditation. I've also done meditation on capillaries. And there's another kind of meditation which I call color shift, where you look at something, you stare at something. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
and you
the color
close your
shift,
eyes.
The color
and you get the opposite color.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stare at something which is symbolic, and that's really what I wanted to talk about, if you stare at something that's symbolic, like some sort of a yantra, a Hindu yantra, or some sort of, you know, Solomonic seal, and you stare at it and then close your eyes, you will see the opposite of it. And as it slowly fades out, it begins to swirl. It's very interesting to meditate on that. But what I was doing when I had my my detached retina, I would sit there and I'd watch my RKO radio tower flashing over these symbols, which I imposed deliberately. It was endlessly fascinating. I could have probably joined a monastery and just stared at a wall and done it the rest of my life. It was so weird to know that this was all going on inside my eyeball and inside my brain.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I love what you said about the crystal not being in itself magical. It's the focal point that you're using it for. Claude Alexander Conlon used to say, the crystal balls I sell, he sold crystal balls, the crystal balls I sell, the crystal balls I use are just stones. That's what they are. And he said, the vision comes from you using it. So just wanted to talk about the floater meditation. I consider it a fascinating meditation, and I'm so glad you brought it up, because you can do it, instead of doing it on a wall, you can do it on a crystal, and you will find your mind going into very interesting places, and
yeah,
it will open up all kinds of little cubby holes.
Oh, yes. You can explore. People watch TV, and you know, they watch the internet and all this stuff, and they can watch their own mind. They can watch endlessly entertain themselves with their eye and their mind staring at a rock.
I actually, at one point, I was doing this when I was looking at capillaries. And as you mentioned, you have to be in the right light to see the capillaries. You can't see them normally. If it's too dim, they won't show up. But a bright light, like you said, being up in an airplane, a very bright light, the capillaries will show up. And if you do that, sometimes I would do it with my eyelids partially closed just to get the light just right.
Mm-hmm.
And you see those capillaries, and you start thinking, and then you begin to think, what am I? Am I just an eye? An eyeball in space? It's very, and I'm not talking, you know, people laugh, oh, you did drugs. No, I'm not talking about drugs. I started doing this when I was 6 years old. Right? Am I just an eyeball? And where is that eyeball located? And where is the rest of the universe? It's very interesting how the mind works. And when you detach yourself from the feeling of I am my hands or I am my hands and my feet, when you become like an eye in the sky, so to speak, you can begin to see things and get answers to questions that you would not get otherwise.
That's exactly right, and that's what this is about. This is about going away from the reality that you're used to into another state of reality where you can perceive the answers, because the answers are already there in you.
Right, and this is the hard thing when you talk about scrying to people. They go, well, I put some ink in a bowl and nothing happened.
they want like some kind of magic trick or something that a picture will appear on it.
Yeah, they're expecting a picture. They watched the Wizard of Oz and they saw that big hollow glass ball that was used as a prop, and a film strip was projected in it, and they go, I'm waiting for the film strip.
Yeah, that's the example I used earlier was, you know, the witch looked in the ball and there was Dorothy, and I said, that's not how it is.
That's right.
That's not what happens.
That's not what happens. That is what people want. They want the pictures. There are instructions for crystal gazing. Sometimes they'll say, you will see clouds, you will see that. No, you might not necessarily see clouds. I tell people when they're doing it, just sort of defocus and just see it, you know, just let the pictures come. But I like the use of light, and I think light enhances it because it creates these things that completely rip you loose from ordinary reality so that you can get into a spiritual state of mind. Yeah.
Exactly,
well, anyway,
yes.
I just wanted to say floaters are us. Yeah, I know. And when I had the detached retina, I had one particular floater, because it takes a while for them to reabsorb. I had one particular floater that looked like a kind of a pouncing spider or scorpion. It had like a little arms. And it scared the hell out of me. Every time it would come, it would jerk across, you know, because your eye does those little jerks, and it was like, oh, there's that thing. And I would jump back, and there was nothing there. People would have thought I was crazy, but thank God the ophthalmologist told me, you will see this for, you know, 3 or 4 months, and it'll go away, and it did.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for letting me be a caller, and I'll let you go back to what you're going to do.
Thanks for your input on that. That's exactly what people will experience.
Yeah, all righty.
Okay, well, thank you, Kat.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I just got hung up on instead of muted.
Maybe. We might have muted you both. We might still be on the air.
I'm going to call back in.
Oh, okay, then I'll hang up.
He hung me up instead of muting me.
Okay, I'm back. I think I hung myself up. I'm back, and we're going to do our meditation, and this is the Karanya Metta Sutta, which is the Goodwill Sutta, and this is a meditation that I used to do every day. I do it once a week now, and this is a meditation that creates empathy for all living creatures. And so everyone take a deep breath and let it out. And a deep breath and let it out. And a third one. And let it out, just like that. And now as you relax, let the relaxation flow from the top of your head and let it go down. Down, down. Push it down your shoulders, down your body, and down to the floor, which gently supports you. And now I would like you to just extend your awareness from your body and be aware of all living creatures in the universe. And listen to my words. Listen to the words of the Buddha. This is to be done by one skilled in alms who wants to break through to the state of peace. Be capable, upright, and straightforward. Easy to instruct, gentle and not conceited. Content and easy to support. With few duties, living lightly, with peaceful faculties. Masterful, modest, and no greed for supporters. Do not do the slightest thing that the wise would later censure. Think happy, at rest. May all beings be happy at heart, whatever beings there may be, weak or strong, without exception, long, large, middling, short, subtle, blatant, seen and unseen, near and far, born and those seeking birth, may all beings be happy at heart. Let no one deceive another, or despise anyone anywhere, or through anger or irritation, wish for another to suffer. As a mother would risk her life to protect her child, her only child, even so should one cultivate a limitless heart with regard to all beings. With goodwill for the entire cosmos, cultivate a limitless heart above, below, and all around, unobstructed, without enmity or hate, whether standing, walking, sitting, or lying down. As long as one is alert, one should be resolved on this mindfulness. This is called a sublime abiding here and now. Not taken with views, but virtuous and consummate in vision. Having subdued desire for sensual pleasures, one never again will lie in the womb. Take a deep breath and push that out into the universe, and wish that for every sentient being in the universe, may all sentient creatures be free of suffering and from the causes and conditions of suffering. And let that wish flow from you, and be at peace, and be at rest, and be content, and be happy. And this is called a sublime abiding. As you stay in this peace, please remain in this peace of mind and take it with you, whether you stand or walk or sit or lie down. And as you sleep tonight, be at rest. And know that like all sentient creatures in the universe, they are you and you are them. You are loved and you are cherished. And be at peace. And this is John St. Germain, wishing you good evening. Please stay tuned for In the Streets with Beverly Smith following this program. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you next week, same time, same place. Good night.